Time now, today, to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening in the world of beautiful wine?
Well, a beautiful day here today, although there's a few clouds in the sky, but completely still. Absolutely gorgeous weekend, Peter.
Oh, good.
And, yes, we had a lot of visitors. It was a long weekend, of course, and all the accommodation, I think throughout the Hunter, was full. We certainly, all our accommodation was full, and we had a very good weekend with visitors. Lots of people were itching to get out, Peter, and get out to taste some very nice organic wine, and they certainly did that.
That would have been very pleasantly.
Yeah, it was. And it, look, it was absolutely beautiful. It was cool overnight each night, but look, we had one group came at 10 o'clock and they sat outside. It was absolutely gorgeous, beautiful sunshine. They sit under the silk tree, Peter, even though it has no leaves anymore. But what happens is filters out about, you know, even the branches filter out about 20% of the sun.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, so it gives them just enough shade, and the sun gives them heat. And, yep. Well, maybe they're imagining that it's got leaves on it, Peter.
Depends on what they smoked on the way in.
That's possible.
Yeah, very possible. No, I must admit, mate, my favorite spot is under those beautiful oaks.
Yeah, it's an absolutely gorgeous tree. And as you know, we have laminated photos of it, so we can put it in front of people and show them, you know, where they're sitting, Peter. And you know what? It blows them away every time.
Yeah,
they look
yeah.
at the tree, and you can see the wheels turning. You know, it's just unbelievable. You know, so anyway, what can you do? You just carry on here, Peter, and hope for the best.
I think you're doing very well, considering that, you know, the uptake was super swift, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we were just chatting off air. We were in Sydney and Wollongong yesterday and was talking about it's a Wednesday. Went into the Westfield Shopping Centre in Fig Tree, just south of Wollongong.
Good centre.
And yeah, couldn't find a park, Peter. It's just unbelievable. The amount of people in there, look, you know, this social distancing went to Woolworths there, Peter, and I mean, you couldn't find a place to stand in there, leave alone social distance.
maybe they need tissues or something.
Yeah, I think it's a reality, Peter, and I mean, the sooner the, you know, the government and the police and everybody realize. I mean, Australia went absolutely nuts. I think history, and I know the politicians have had 70% approval, but that's because of the fear mongers in Australia, largely, which I'll talk about in a moment. But the I think history is going to be very harsh. When the full effect of taking $300 billion out of the taxes, Peter, and the cuts already, I've seen cuts to social allowances proposed and cuts to all types of programs. There'll be no new hospitals, you know, medical equipment. There'll be lots of problems in future to social programs, education. Look, education and health make nearly 80% of the budget, Peter.
Of course.
And that's where the money has to come from, and that's where it's going to come from. And in the future, in 5 years, you know, when we're still wrestling with the stupid waste of money, these job seeker programs and all types of this home renovation program, I don't think anybody's going to qualify for that one. So that's not going to cost the government much. The government are usually pretty good at smoke and mirror programs, Peter. They announce these fantastic programs, like with the bushfire stuff, and the programs are so difficult to satisfy, they don't spend the money.
That's right.
There was an article just the other day, I don't know if you saw it, 50% of all the money allocated for the bushfire emergency grants and help has not been spent because the qualifications are too hard. It's all smoke and mirrors, as we talk about in the Hunter here. Everybody lost their crop, 100%. Everybody lost their sales because of smoke for 4 months. Not a penny, Peter. Not a penny. Don't qualify for anything. Although they did just announce a bushfire, the state did. There's a state program that we qualified for, but that's not federal. Okay, then that is if your sales were down 40% from year on to the bushfire year, then you're qualified for a $10,000 subsidy. So, but the point is, they're experts, Peter, at making up programs nobody qualifies for. It looks good. It looks good to city voters, but they're not going to be eligible anyway. But makes the government look like they're doing something, Peter, when all they're doing is flashing smoke and mirrors. So.
Do you know one thing that's come out of all of that that I sat back and looked at? You know, pensioners can use a little extra money. You know, maybe they could work out some sort of deposit so people on a pension could literally afford to buy a property. You know, that to me would seem to be a better result.
Yeah, if you're going to look at it, the trouble is $25,000 is not going to help anybody in this day and age buy a property. Especially
it'd be a good deposit.
No, yeah, but if you're a pensioner, Peter, that's your income. And so you're not going to qualify for a mortgage. And so it makes it very difficult. All I'm saying is that homeowners program was a complete farce. So, you know, totally in line with what the government type programs were. You know, there's been in the paper quite a bit about the stupidity of their programs. So, but still, they did give the pensioner a $750 grant, Peter. That cost $4 billion. I have no argument with that. But it wasn't really a subsidy for pensioners, Peter. It was a subsidy for Coles and Woolworths, which is where the money went.
Yeah, that's right. Or gambling.
So, yeah. Well, that's the other thing. You know, when you're a pensioner, you know, pulling the old one-armed bandits exercise, Peter.
Now, do you know what I saw? Now, I've seen this in clubs too. People get their membership card and they pick a number on the front of the machine and jam it down with the card so they can just sit there and watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, it's unfortunate. Those people do need a bit of help. But, you know, anyway, Peter, the, excuse me, the numbers... you know, going down and being down. States are still closed, insanely stupid. And so there's no travel to New Zealand now because of the states. Who the heck would want to go to Victoria, Peter? I mean, they're the worst coronavirus state now. And the numbers are, like we've talked about this many times before, the numbers are not correct. The domestic numbers are not separated from those that come in the travel, like the ship that came in to pick up stock in Western Australia had 7 members, had 50 under, had 7 coronavirus cases, I mean, had 50 under surveillance. They just become part of the statistics, Peter, but they're not. They're in quarantine. Yeah. They were not home generated. They don't separate the numbers, Peter, to keep us in panic so that they can control the masses. Mm. That's completely wrong.
Oh, as yeah. I mean, you can't get out. You can't. You don't feel comfortable being out there. I know you have to go shopping. I have to go to the doctor. I have to go to the chemist. And believe me, I go out, do all that, and come straight back home.
Yeah, but Peter, there's no cases. These cases you're reading about, 3 here, 2 there, I mean, you've got a better chance of winning the lottery. But also, those people are in quarantine, came in on ships or planes or whatever. More often than not now, because the domestic cases have gone, as we had predicted a very long time ago.
Yeah, so nobody listened then, they're still not listening now.
I know, it's just absolutely insane. The problem was, Peter, did you read in the paper just the other day, some group did an international study, they found the country that panicked the most in the world was, I'll give you one guess.
Australia.
Exactly. Australia panicked more than any other country in the world. And that was due to those experts initially, Peter. If you recall, just for our listeners again, an expert is a drip under pressure. And we have some of the biggest drips in Australia.
That's right. Drama queens.
Yeah, that Dr. Blakely in Monash University, he started it predicting 14 million Australians were going to catch the coronavirus, which means 400,000 deaths. It's the type of thing you expect to read in those rags in the supermarket, you know, aliens live amongst us, you know, and 14 million people are going to get the And he was quoted often as Australia's leading epidemiologist. Even the press lost interest in him, Peter, and didn't quote him anymore. Yeah. But he started it. Fights in Woolworths and Coles, the toilet paper. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, that toilet paper business.
They all got wrapped up, didn't they?
Yeah, it was funny. I was driving home yesterday, and you know how students are when they're celebrating because they throw toilet rolls because it makes good streamers. There was some toilet rolls, paper hanging in a tree there, and I thought to myself, geez, wonder somebody isn't there with a ladder.
Yeah, that's true. Well, fancy going all the way up there to do your business anyway.
Oh, it was absolutely insane. And it was big drips. Our biggest trips. And the other one, the first news conference, I think her name is Chant or Gant or something, Chief Medical Officer of British Columbia. Her very first news conference, she got up and said 1.4 million people in New South Wales are going to get the coronavirus. She didn't mince her words at all. Mm-hmm. Then she wonders why there's a riot in Woolworths and Australia is the most panicked country in the world. Mm-hmm. We're led by people that shouldn't be quoted, shouldn't be in their jobs, Peter.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah, certainly shouldn't be quoted. You know, and at the same time, we were predicting in a week that the cases were going to be down to 130, and they were 120, and we'd predicted the next week they were going to be 70, and they were down to 60.
Yeah.
So if we can do it, Peter, 4 weeks in advance of where we're going to be. And I published the curves and I sent them to the Prime Minister, the Premier. I sent them to all members of Parliament, to every press outlet, everywhere, and they're just carry on predicting like it's, complete idiocy.
Did they write back?
Yes, thank you for your letter. I got form letter 917, Peter.
Wonderful. I wonder how much bus fare that cost.
Yeah, well, they do one of two things. They say, do you want to, to hear from the government? And I tick the box. They get an intern to call you, who's probably just out of high school. Yeah. Or they get a grandmother to call you. See, I had a problem with my fridge, Westinghouse this was, Peter. And I called up to try and... No, I sent them a letter explaining I am an engineer, as you know, explaining a design defect they had in the door. And it's obvious to any engineer that looks at, that's where it's going to fail. And anyway, I had to redesign it, and I made a couple of metal pieces, and I put it all back together. Now the door opens and closes, like a bank safe. So I wrote a letter, and I explained the problem, sent them some photographs of how they can fix this problem, and said, I'd be happy to discuss it with somebody. So they had somebody call me, Peter. And I think she was like 5 years into the pension. She was at least like your grandmother, and she had a grandmotherly tone. Oh, that's awful, isn't it? They should do something about that, and on and on. And she was at least 70, Peter.
Yeah, condescending. I mean, who needs that sort of rubbish?
No, but nobody's going to get nasty with their grandmother, Peter.
Yeah, true. Did you ask for the bickies?
Yeah, I thought to myself, well, there's one way of handling complaints. Have an elderly grandmother follow it up.
Yeah, they probably couldn't get anybody else because nobody else is interested.
Yeah, so no traveling to New Zealand. New Zealand's complaining because our states are closed, Peter. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to go to Victoria. We got less cases than Queensland, or at least as few as Queensland. Western Australia's still closed, but they had the 7 cases from the ship and a few more. So, and we've only had like 2 and 3 and 5 and 7 in all of Australia.
Yeah.
Does the federal government run the country or do the states run the country? So international travel is...
I think we'll give it to Woolworths.
Yeah, international, they probably run it, Woolworths and Coles.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be able to open the country if they open international travel, if they can't even open travel between states.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I mean, should take an act of parliament or at least the federal government to close states. It just should not be possible. You know, and there's no justice. Look, Queensland's the one that's hurting. I read in the paper the other day, their tourist industry's screaming at the premier in Queensland because this is the time of the year when all the people from New South Wales and Victoria go to Queensland.
That's right.
And they're not. They're going to Tweed Heads and they're going to whatever. See, New South Victoria people can come into New South Wales and they can go back because they're Victorians, right? It's just New South Wales people can't go to Victoria. So the Victorians don't go to Queensland. They go to Tweed Heads and along the Gold Coast there in New South Wales. So, you know, and so it's not New South Wales that Queensland's affecting. They're affecting their own economy.
Yep. And it's blatantly obvious if you have a look.
Yeah, well, the industries in Queensland are screaming, you know, about the stupidity of it. And I believe history is going to be harsh. It's going to be harsh on Queensland and those people. They got support now, but in the future, that's not going to be the case.
Well, wasn't it a fact that during the week that several government entities are saying, yes, we are in recession?
wouldn't take a genius to figure you take $300 billion out of your economy, Peter, you're going to have a recession.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We talked to a bunch of people yesterday. We talked to the cafe owner in Windsor where we stopped in Sydney. As I mentioned to you, there were at least 35 people in there. I don't know. And then there was every second table. I stopped at the service center on the freeway between Newcastle and Sydney.
Yep.
It was nearly empty, mind you, because it was going on 8:30, 9 o'clock. But they had every second table. But they were just telling us it's devastating. And just, you know, what it cost them and their employees and, you know, all young adults, kids, teenagers, you know, being out of work all that period of time. It just, and look, Sweden, you know, Sweden never did anything, Peter. And they're still running along at a few hundred cases a day. But they didn't go to 12, 15,000 cases a day. So they got more discipline than we have, and they got smarter people running the country. Now, they admit they made some mistakes, and I believe they did because they didn't put social distancing in quick enough. But all those countries that opened their economy, Peter, when they still had 1,000 to 3,000 cases a day, and I'm talking about France, Spain, Italy, Germany, they're all down to 200 or 300 cases a day, Peter.
That's right.
So they opened when there was 2,000 to 3,000 cases a day. They were still able to control the virus and get it down to near nothing. And that's because they have upped their testing to a rate which allows them to quickly track when a problem outbreak occurs, Peter. And that's the key, which we've pushed for 3 months, spent $300 billion and $250 billion of it was wasted.
Yeah.
$50 billion should have gone into testing and searching out where these cases are and quarantining all those people. That's all you have to do, Peter.
Yeah, well, as you remember, I was a bit sniffly and coughing and everything else like that. And I thought, blow it, I'm going to go and have a test, which I did. It came back negative. But the girl that I spoke to there, she was very good. This was at the John Hunter. And the hospital in of course, Newcastle. And I said, you know, I decided to come because it appeared I had some of the symptoms. She said, I don't blame you. Come back in a couple of months and test again if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the key. The key to everything is testing. Because 50% of the cases have no symptoms and 25% have mild symptoms. Exactly. See, when SARS went through the world, killed 8,000 people, and there were, I don't know how many 100,000 people got it. But 90% of the people had severe symptoms, Peter. You couldn't miss them. Okay, so a coronavirus is not as deadly. You know, it's killed 4%, but the SARS killed 8% of the people. But it went through the world in 9 months and became extinct. Coronavirus is proving more difficult because of the so many mild cases. But that just means like they've done, social distancing, we said, but intelligent social distancing. The fact they close the parks and the beaches and all that is just is idiotic. Yeah. You just put people there to make sure there's a bit of social distancing, a bit of intelligence applied to the project. And if you have an outbreak somewhere, you go in there and you close it, disinfect it, round the people up, and ask them to quarantine and carry on.
What about these people? They are told to go home and quarantine, and the next thing you know, they're down the shopping center.
Yeah, but I think they fined a few of those people like $1,500, and they get the message eventually. You know,
so thick as a brick and twice as stupid.
Look, Australians are not as honest or forthright about those things as many other countries are. Many other countries aren't as well, but, you know, if you're not policed, you know, there's a percentage of people that just don't care. Yeah. But when you get to a country like Sweden, you know, when they say do this or do that or do the other thing, it's intuitive in the citizens to do it, Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we got to put the big penalty on, and they gave the penalty to a few people, and that makes other people fall in line. And if that's the way you have to run the society, that's the way you have to run it.
Do you know what I think with fines? It should be a percentage of your income.
Forever.
Yeah. If you make thousands of dollars a week, your fine is thousands of dollars. If you make $2, your fine is part of that.
Yeah, well, I like South Africa's approach. They contemplated attempted murder charges on two people that had the coronavirus that they found out of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You charge them with attempted murder, Peter. I think that's that brings home the serious nature of the issue. So, but interestingly, we have a neighbor who's lives here. Her husband lives in Beijing, and he arrived 2 weeks ago. She had an operation in hospital, and he came to be with her.
Yeah,
and he arrived about 2 weeks ago. So I don't know if it's a compassionate visa or whatever it is, but there's obviously flights between China and Australia.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he didn't swim, and he didn't come by boat.
And he definitely didn't use carrier pigeon.
No, but he's here.
Yeah,
you know. So anyway, so there are cases where you can do it. But anyway, Peter, we've got to sell a bit of wine. I see we're running over here.
Yeah, well, mate, we've got to talk about the wine because it's lovely.
It is, and a lot of people enjoyed it this weekend, Peter. We pushed the limits of coronavirus ourselves, or the not social distancing, because we got 100 acres plus to spread them out on here, Peter. So it was plenty of social distancing. But we did have a lot of visitors, and we welcomed everybody. It's been a very tough period here because of the bushfires.
Sure.
And because of the coronavirus, where we were all shut down for a long period of time. So we're back now operating. Had a lot of people who were very happy to come and spend some time. A beautiful day, as I said, and people stayed and really enjoyed themselves. So anyway, stellawines.com.au, Peter, free delivery Australia-wide, mix and match down to a 9-pack. So no excuse, Peter.
Oh, no excuse at all. It's wonderful. And, of course, all they have to do is jump on the website or give you a call. And it's almost like a matter of hours now. It's good. Your delivery is there. It's great.
It is great. We send out by courier because we don't want it sitting in some post office warehouse for a week. And you get it right away.
Trouble is, they probably drink it.
Well, you know what? I sometimes wonder. Now, cases disappear or they get dropped, and when we get them back, there's like only 7 bottles in a box of 1,000, and a couple of pieces of broken glass that make one bottle, maybe. And I wonder where the other half a dozen are.
Do you know, I just discovered, I can hear them outside our studio here, someone with a blower. Now, it's wet out there. How are you going to blow wet leaves and everything around? You know, don't they have anything else to do?
it's not coming through to me anyway, Peter. So
no, that's good. Yeah, it's in the background, yeah. But I mean, you know, like, get a life, will you? Gee.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's I have to shut the doors here because I get people in there, you know, banging around in the cellar door and various other places. You know, it just nobody thinks, Peter. They think I'm talking to the computer, but nobody else.
They'll be right, mate. They'll get over it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, look, it's great to talk to you, and I'm glad that things are starting to come back to that really positive stage where you actually get people and they come in and say hello.
Yeah, well, it is good, Peter. And I want to thank all our friends of Acela have been really, really good. Look, we had a lot of people, Peter, that lost their jobs and, you know, worried about their future and their family and their bills and that. And we put them on hold. Wasn't a huge number of them, but, you know, they don't want to give up their membership. They want to not have the burden for the next 6 months or whatever, you know, of their 2 or 3 9-packs a year. And we understand that totally. But look, most of our members have been really, really good in supporting us. They know what we've been through as well, Peter. So
Yeah. See, people, real people, I call them real people.
Yeah.
They know exactly what it's all about. I know we're over time, but that doesn't matter. They know exactly what's going on. They're feeling it. When they come to your place, they tell you, and you say, yeah, we understand.
Yeah, that's good. Understand totally. Exactly, Peter. Okay, mate. Well, it's great to chat with you.
And we shall do it very soon.
Yeah, okay, mate. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much indeed. It's Jeff from Acela Wine. That's acelawines.com.au. And as I said, we are running a little bit late, but I won't tell.